In our previous study in 1 Kings 18, we saw Elijah's surrendered service. We saw Elijah's surrendered service, and we saw Obadiah's secret service. Today in 1 Kings 18, verses 17 through 16, we will now see Obadiah's selfish service. So often, many of us are selfish in our service. In verse 7, we see Obadiah's identification of Elijah, 1 Kings 18. Now as Obadiah was on his way, suddenly Elijah met him and he recognized him and fell on his face and said, "Is that you, my Lord Elijah?" By his dress and by the fact that he had probably seen Elijah before, Obadiah recognizes the man of God when they meet in the way. Obadiah is quick to show reverence to the man of God, but of course, no one else is around to see it. That is always the way of the compromiser. Showing reverence to the man of God when no one else is around to see it. In verses 8 and 9, we see Obadiah's indictment of Elijah. Elijah sends Obadiah to tell Ahab that he has returned. Obadiah knows where Ahab is. He is his servant, and so he should go to find him. However, notice, he responds by pointing his finger at Elijah and accuses Elijah of trying to get him killed. Look at verses 8 and 9 of 1 Kings 18. And he answered him, "It is I. Go tell your master Elijah is here." So he said, Obadiah speaking, "How have I sinned that you are delivering your servant into the hand of Ahab to kill me?" What a change in a matter of one verse. You're identifying Elijah and bowing and worshiping him. I shouldn't say worshiping him, but giving him reverence. And now Elijah sends Obadiah to tell Ahab he's returned, and what Obadiah knows where Ahab is, and notice how he points his finger at Elijah and accuses him of trying to get him killed. What a difference. Elijah, my Lord, you're trying to get me killed. His reverence, we saw in to the prophet in verse 7, meant nothing because Obadiah is a hypocrite. His reverence to Elijah in one verse and then his accusation in verse 9 revealed the true character of his heart. See, many people say one thing. They say one thing and they do something else completely different. He's showing reverence for Elijah and then he's accusing the man of God of killing him, wanting to have him killed, putting him in the position to get killed. He had no respect for the man of God. He had no respect for Elijah's mission. He had no respect for the word of God at all. The same is true for those who place themselves in the world before the Lord. As we saw in the previous message of Obadiah's secret service, he was a compromiser. He was a compromiser. He placed himself in the world before the Lord. Many compromisers today, they have no respect for the things of God, regardless of what they say. Basically, they talk out of two sides of their mouth. They're hypocrites. They say one thing, they do another thing. Those who love the Lord will honor him actively, obeying him and responding in faith and not doubt. When a person responds to the command of God with doubt, with accusation, with resistance, it reveals that they are not in love with the God that they claim to serve. It proves that there really is a problem in their heart. In verses 9 through 14 of 1 Kings 18, we see Obadiah's indifference towards Elijah. Look at verses 9 through 14. So he said, "How have I sinned that you're delivering your servant into the hand of Ahab to kill me?" As the Lord your God lives, there's no nation or kingdom where my master has not sent someone to hunt for you. And when they said, he's not here, he took an oath from the kingdom or nation that they could not find you. And now you say, go tell your master Elijah is here. And now look at the charts. Verse 12. And it shall come to pass as soon as I'm gone from you, that the Spirit of the Lord will carry you to a place I do not know. So when I go and tell Ahab and he cannot find you, he will kill me. But I, your servant, have feared the Lord from my youth. Was it not reported to my Lord what I did when Jezebel killed the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets, 50 to a cave, and fed them with bread and water? And now you say, go tell your master Elijah is here. He will kill me. In these verses, we see Obadiah's indifference. Obadiah begins to offer up one excuse after another as to why he cannot do what Elijah is telling him to do. And so often is that not our approach to the word? The Lord tells us what to do, and then it's excuse after excuse after excuse why we can't. I wanna, but I can't. You don't understand. And we make all the excuses. But usually, when the pressure comes in life, when the trials, when the tribulations come, when we're confronted with the Word of God, then we really see what we believe. When the Word of God comes, very often, what takes place is what we see in Matthew 15, verses 17 through 20. Look at Matthew 15. Verses 17 through 20. Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things. See? These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. That is not what defiles a man. Let's dissect this man's excuses, Obadiah, and see if they hold water. See, his heart is being exposed. What's really in his heart now is coming out of his mouth. And you have to admit, what Obadiah is saying to Elijah sounds like a lot what the people say to Christ when he says, depart from me, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. What do? They bring up their works. Didn't we serve you? Didn't we do good things? Didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we? And here's Obadiah doing the same exact thing to Elijah. Didn't you hear about me? I hid the prophets. See, I'm righteous in my behavior. And now Elijah says, no, you go tell Ahab that I'm here and I want to speak to him. And then Obadiah starts with the excuses. In verses 9, 12 and 14 of 1 Kings, we see his personal fears. His first objection is that if he does this thing, he will be put to death for it. Apparently, he does not believe that God has the ability to protect him from Ahab. See, when the pressures, the trials, the tribulations come, all of a sudden you see exactly what Obadiah believed. He didn't believe God had the ability to protect him from Ahab. If you've ever come to the place where you start to believe that God cannot take care of you, you need to check your heart out. You need to check. It may be that you've stopped trusting God and have started looking to other sources to meet your needs. This is always an indication of sin in the heart. Have you started to look to other sources to meet your needs? Are you looking to people, places, and things? Are you looking to your money, looking to your job, looking to your prestige, looking to your power, looking to your position? Are you looking to your family? Are you looking to your friends? Are you looking to everything else but God Almighty? Why will you not trust God? Why have you started to look? Why do you doubt? In verses 10 through 12 of 1 Kings 18, we see Obadiah's faithlessness. Here he tells Elijah that Ahab has looked for him in every country around Israel. He has made the kings of those lands take an oath that they do not know where he is. He even questions the faithfulness of God. Notice verse 12 in 1 Kings 18, what Obadiah says. And it shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from you, that the Spirit of the Lord will carry you to a place I do not know. So when I go and tell Ahab, and he cannot find you, he will kill me. But I, your servant, have feared the Lord from my youth. What happened? You feared the Lord from your youth. You feared the Lord. What has happened? Here's Ahab questioning the faithfulness of God. He's going to do this with his spirit. He's going to take his spirit and take you away. He's going to do this. The Spirit of the Lord will carry you to a place that I do not know. So now, not only are you blaming Elijah, you're blaming God. Obadiah has been so indoctrinated into the worship of Baal that he has come to believe that God is no better than Baal. See, when you compromise with the world, then you become a worldling. You act like a worldling. You think like a worldling. Ahab was a worshiper of Baal. Obadiah was his right-hand man in the palace. He came to worship Baal. Obadiah doesn't even believe that God will honor his own word. He has no faith in God. He has no faith in God's word. Or he has no faith that God's man has been sent. He's been brought to a place where his faith is shattered. And today, are you in that place? Has your faith been shattered? Do you doubt God? Have you given up on God? Do you not trust God anymore? Do you not trust his word anymore? When we reach this place in our lives, we are in serious trouble. When adopt the idea? When have you adopted the idea that God is unable to do what he has promised? When have you begun to lose faith in him and his word? It's a sure sign that you're out of God's will, and you need to repent and to seek his face. You need to repent and to seek his face. Look at verse 13, 1 Kings 18. Was it not reported to my Lord what I did when Jezebel killed the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets, 50 to a cave, and fed them with bread and water? Notice what he does now. First you've seen his fears, then you've seen his faithlessness, and now you see him bringing up his past fruit. What I've done in the past. In this verse, he takes the position that he's too good for the job that Elijah is suggesting. After all, why would God or the prophet risk losing a man with his connections? See, I've done this for the Lord in the past. Why would God want to do this? Why would he put my life in jeopardy? Doesn't God think that Obadiah has done enough already? Lord, but haven't I served you? Haven't I done for you? Obadiah seems to be living on his past works. And very often, is that not what we do? We rehearse before the Lord the things that we've done. Maybe he feels that being right with God and serving God in the past is enough to make up for being backslidden today. It's not your previous service. It's your present service. Stop living in the past, brother. Stop living in the past, sister. Where are you today with the Lord? When you come to the place in your life where you have to go back, look back at what you used to do, instead of being able to see what you are currently doing, you're in deep spiritual trouble. It's not, I was on missions, I did this for the Lord, I served in the church. I tithed. I gave. I did. But what are you doing today, brother? What are you doing today? Many believers are right there this morning. You hear things like, I worked in the Bible, in the Bible school for years. Now it's time for someone else to do it. Oh, I taught that class for a long time. I need a break. Well, I used to go to church. I used to serve the Lord. I used to be faithful. But the question is, what about today? Where are you today with the Lord? You have to be a today Christian, not a yesterday Christian. Remember, there is no retirement. There's no retirement plan in the Lord's service. And every one of us, every believer is called to serve the Lord every day of our life to the day we die. Your service to the Lord is over when they shut the box on your face. When the coffin closes, that's when your service to the Lord is over. Stop living in the past, what you did for the Lord in the past. What have you done for him today? Even the Apostle Paul, with all that he had done, all of the service for the Lord. And this is a word for every one of us. There is no one that is above this word. And if you think you are, you're in serious trouble. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27. This is the Apostle Paul. Let us not forget that. This is a word to me first and foremost before anybody else hears this. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. What a hard word. What a serious word there, brother, sister. You cannot just ignore that word and try to explain it away. Take it at face value and search yourself. Examine yourself. See where you are. Don't just ignore that verse and verses similar to that because of doctrines, how it fits into your system of theology. Look at it and get before the Lord and pray about it and see if that be true. Let it never be said of you what it was said in Jeremiah 6:30. People will call them rejected silver, because the Lord has rejected them. Remember, the trials and tribulations in your life brings out if you're truly a Christian or not. Many people fool themselves, fool others around them for 5, 10, 15, 20 years. Judas fooled the people that was around him. Everybody thought that he was a disciple. But what was it? Love of money, love of the world, love of power, love of prestige. He sold the Lord for 30 shekels of silver. These hard verses sometimes that we see, we have to take them seriously. We cannot ignore them. We can't fall into the trap that Obadiah did. But to serve God in the here and now, not the then and when. As I said, Paul's fear is that he'd become a castaway. Now that's the Apostle Paul. Would you want to put your works up against him? The one that said, according to the law, he was righteous? According to the law of Moses, judged underneath that law, he was blameless. Do you want to ignore scriptures that say, the Lord said of the Pharisees, unless your righteousness exceeds those of the Pharisees? Brother, sister, we have to look at our lives. Yes, you're saved by grace, but also you have to check yourself. You have to examine yourself to see if grace has truly been given to you. And if it hasn't, if you find today that grace hasn't been given to you, then repent of your sins and ask the Lord to save your soul, and he will. Let us see if we be of the faith. We see in verses 15 and 16 of 1 Kings 18, Obadiah's indulgence of Elijah. Look at verses 15 and 16 in 1 Kings 18. Then Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, I will surely present myself to him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told them, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. At Elijah's insistence, Obadiah reluctantly agrees to go find Ahab and tell him the news. As Obadiah walks away, he's never heard from again. Did Ahab kill him as he had feared? Probably not. Most likely, he simply faded back into the background and continued to live his life of compromise and disobedience. This is a life that could have been greatly used of the Lord, but because of his reluctance, because of his sin, because of his lack of faith, because of his compromise with the world, he was a man who never amounted to much for the glory of God. Think about this. Later in the same chapter, Elijah's all alone when he confronts Ahab and the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. If Obadiah has been all he claimed to be, do you not think that maybe he would have been right there with the man of God? You have to admit the possibility exists. Let me just say this in this final observation from the life of Obadiah. All of us have better watch those people who have to tell you that they love the Lord. Be very careful of those who tell you that they love the Lord. If they have to tell you, it is usually because they cannot show you. They have to tell you because they cannot show you. Just like in a relationship between a man and a woman. Very often the man or the woman would tell the other person, I love you. I love you. I love you. And they tell you, and they tell you, and they tell you. And they have to tell you because they really haven't showed you that love. And the question is today, are you just telling people that you love the Lord, that you love one another, without showing them? Usually those who boast the loudest about their love for God, their love for his church, and their love for his work, are those who do the least. You know what I'm talking about. People say they love the church and they don't come on Sunday. They don't come to prayer meetings. They don't come to Bible studies. They don't come to fellowship. They just put in the time. They put in the least amount of time. Show the least amount of love. But to watch. If they love the church, they wouldn't have to tell you. You would see it by their actions. If they love the Lord, they won't have to tell you. They'll show you by the life that they live. I wonder if your walk matches your talk. When you look at the fruit of the Spirit, is that true in your life? Is there love and peace and joy and goodness and kindness and gentleness and faithfulness and long-suffering? When you look at your life, is your word your word? Is your yes? Is your no, your no? Heavy thoughts, somber thoughts. Time to really sit down and examine ourselves. Because really what you have in the text with Elijah and Obadiah is a servant and a hireling. A hireling. Obadiah was a hireling. And the question is, are you a hireling? Or are you a servant of God? Do you talk a good game? Or are you really living out what you claim to be with your lips? If you're really honest, would you have to say that you're more like Elijah, who did the will of God obediently, or that you're more like Obadiah? Each of us, we go back and forth from being like Elijah and Obadiah. But when it's all weighed out, when it's all weighed out in the scales, do you find yourself to be more as Elijah or as Obadiah, who made excuses and lived a life of compromise? Do you continually make excuses and live a life of compromise? Who describes you the best, Elijah or Obadiah? If you need to work on your relationship with God, there's no better time than today. If God is dealing with you, if God is dealing with you, if these words are really hitting home, then come before the Lord. Repent and believe. The time to get it settled is today. God, in His mercy and His grace, is permitting you to hear these words today. Will you give heed to the Lord as He speaks to your heart today? Will you just once again try to explain it away? Excuse after excuse after excuse. Or will it be said as it was of the prodigal, and he came to his senses, and he went home to his father? He came to his senses. He came to his right mind. Your father is home, and he's waiting for you with open arms to welcome you home. Brother, sister, if you would find yourself more as Obadiah today, come home to the Father. And if you would find yourself as Elijah, don't get puffed up. Don't become like the brother that stayed home in the story of the prodigal, and get puffed up and become hard-hearted that you stayed and you served the Lord and everything like that. Just be that much more grateful and thankful that the Lord has kept you back from becoming an Obadiah. Because any one of us at any time can become an Obadiah. And that's why you see exhortations like I read to you from the Apostle Paul. Lest after preaching to others. That's a word for me right there, brother, sister. I'm a preacher. Lest having preached to others, that I would find myself disqualified. So it's not you arrive at a place or you live in the past. Where are you today? And I'm sure that every one of us, if we sit down, every one of us would say, you know, I think I need to repent. I need to repent. Confess my sins to the Lord. And the scripture says He is faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that is possible because of what Christ has done for us. So I would ask you today to come. Open up before the Lord, get real with the Lord, and see what He would have you to do. And I would ask you to do these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.